It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
I am joined by Julie Weisenhorn, who's in the holiday spirit.
Yes, indeed, indeed.
Haven't seen you for a while.
I know. It's been
good to have you back, I tell you.
I don't know. It just... Yeah.
It just happens that
way.
Here
I am.
The schedule, yes. And we welcome your phone calls. Julie loves it when you call in your lawn or garden question or send a text. She's got that screen right in front of her.
That's right.
And in fact, why don't I give the numbers while I'm talking about it? 651-989-9226. And if you're familiar with the show, you know we tend to get busy. So don't wait. Julie will be with us this hour. But a lot of folks do kind of wait.
Maybe they ask questions and they go, I've got that question too.
But I have to mention, too, that By the Yard, a great family-run business down in Jordan, Minnesota, sponsors the show every week.
Thank you very much.
Best patio furniture in the whole world. We'll talk about that. But if you have a question for Julie, lawn or garden type, 651-989-9226. We've cleared the lines and we're waiting for you. Or send a text, 81807. Now, you had mentioned earlier there's some friend or a listener in Stillwater.
Yeah, so my good friend Linda Searsted's aunt Shirley listens every week. So shout out to you, Shirley. Way to go. Thanks for listening. It's awesome. And it's also my little gardening buddy Avery's fifth birthday today. So happy birthday, Avery.
She's a
gardener. Boy. She came out of the womb a gardener.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now, you didn't start as a little girl, did you?
No. No, I liked all the plants in our yard. I grew up in Rochester, and the house I grew up in, my grandfather had built, and it was full of amazing plants. Of course, I was just interested in the things that smelled good and looked good. And the nicest thing, and this is a note to all the parents out there, is my mom would let me pick anything in that yard. Didn't matter what it was. And I think that, you know, we could climb the trees, we could dig in all the soil. She was non-restrictive in that sense. And I think that openness is what engaged me with gardening. Granted, it came later.
Yeah, but still.
At a later age. But I felt very free to, you know, explore the plants and everything. So I think that's an important thing with anybody who's a gardener is to have that freedom to see and touch and smell and pick things and enjoy the plants. So,
now, I've asked you this a long time ago, but we have the pleasure of having you guys helping us out,
and
helping our listeners. Well, I know you do, but it's a two-way street. Are there a lot of men that are master gardeners too these days?
There are more and more men. And actually, I believe that if you ask some of our coordinators who manage the local programs, and some of those are volunteers too, which thank you very much, volunteers. You guys are amazing. That there are more and more master gardeners as well as more and more younger master gardeners. Mm. So everybody kind of has the stereotype that master gardeners are all retired and, you know, it's like the second career kind of thing. But there are a lot of younger master gardeners now, and technology has been really helpful with that, you know, is being able to offer the core course, which starts in January, both online as well as in person. So you can take your pick of what works with your schedule.
So if somebody, men or women, are interested, what do they do? What's the first step they take?
They would contact their local extension office in their county, because this is a county-based volunteer program. And then they would apply, and in most cases, people are accepted. The counties decide how many people they can add to their pool and support them well. So that's important. And then they go through the core course, they become interns, and they volunteer a certain number of hours that first year. And then to be recertified every year, they do some continuing education as well as volunteer hours too, and report those.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think we have around, I'm going to say, 2,300 people who are active in Minnesota, and there's almost 100,000 throughout the United States.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Well, you know what? And before we get to the calls and text messages, by the way, there's a line open, 651-989-9226. I want to mention that great website you guys have all joined and put together.
Boy, it is just growing by leaps and bounds. Jeff Hahn, our extension entomologist, and I just finished – and in fact, I'll be submitting it on Monday, a new publication called Managing Pests on Indoor Plants. So Look for that. That should be up, I would imagine, in the next week or two, and has great information on managing scale and mealy bugs and all those nasty bugs that sometimes invade our home plants. So the extension site is extension.umn.edu. And you want to just go over to the side, just look for Yard and Garden. So,
okay. Great website.
Lots of stuff. Yeah, lots of great information.
The labor of love put into that.
Yeah,
sure.
From everybody, not yes. just the horticulture people. Our communications people are amazing.
Fantastic. All right, back to the phones we go. Herman is calling from New Hope, I believe. Herman, you're on with Julie.
Hi. Hello. I have a braided hibiscus.
Sure, yep.
That was standing outside all summer.
Nice.
How do I take care of it?
Okay.
So it stays around over the winter.
Sure. So you've brought it into the house, and you want to check it for insects. So you want to look it over really well. Look under the leaves in particular. Sometimes there's insect eggs, or you'll see some kind of webbing or something. If you find anything, you want to just remove it. You can just rub it off with your fingers or wash it off with a damp paper towel or something. And then you want to trim it a little bit. So it's probably got some buds on it. Most times when those hibiscus come in, they've got a lot of buds. And people just let them bloom. And then when they're done blooming, you can just trim them back a little bit, maybe shape it. You know, sometimes they get a bit scraggly in the summer. And the nice thing about hibiscus is they're really easy to care for indoors. And then just be sure to, around the base of the plant, around the base of the pot and everything, is wipe that pot off really well. So that you don't have any insect eggs or dirt or anything that's on the bottom of that pot or under the rim. And then water it, put it in a sunny window and keep it moist, not wet. Don't let it stand in water. And just enjoy it through the rest of the winter. Put it back out when the temperatures get warm in the spring.
All right. Very good, Herman. Thank you for the question. There is a line open, 651-989-9226. A text number 81807. How can you get voles to move out of the yard?
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
How
do you evict the voles? Well, voles are really small little animals.
They're like mice.
They're like mice without long tails. And they tunnel underneath the snow. So sometimes in shallow snow, you'll see little ridges, and they might be tunneling under there. The important thing with voles is it's hard to get rid of them. Increasing your predators, you know, making habitat for birds and other animals that eat the voles is good. If you got a hawk lying around, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But anyway, you want to protect your tree trunks. That's the most important thing. And that can be done using hardware cloth. It's a little real stiff wire that you can wrap around the tree. And wrap it around a few inches away from the trunk of the tree or around the shrub so that they can't, you know, put their little nose through that hole and still get to that trunk. So you want a little space there. And that should keep them from gnawing on your plants. It's hard to just say, how do I get rid of them out of my yard? That would be a lot of time and effort and probably not really very useful. And so the most important thing is just protecting your plants from them.
Okay. Dale is calling in from Dale. Now, do you pronounce it Bellingham or Belling? How do you pronounce it? Is it Bellingham?
It's Bellingham.
Oh, okay, very good. And you're not far from Ortonville, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, way out west,
you know,
by the border. Yeah. Well, how can we help you, Dale?
Can pumpkins get squash vine borers in them?
Yes, because they are a type of squash, so they can indeed get that squash vine borer.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Question answered.
Wow, great. And Dale, we do have a good publication on cucurbits. That's the family that encompasses melons and squash and cucumbers and pumpkins. And you can read about management of pests, including squash vine borer, on that publication on the website.
Good
so
deal.
Take a look under vegetables.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate the call. Dale leaves that line open, too. Or you can send a text. We're going to pick up on more of those. The text number is 81807 as we head to this quick break. Fog and mist. Snow is on the way. You stay tuned to CCO. Right now it's 28 degrees. Good morning. We're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour.
Bring them on.
We have Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M with us and helping you out. this morning. 651-989-9226, or if it's easier, send Julie a text, 81807, whatever you like. Can, is it okay, texter says, to prune my apple tree now, or is it still too warm?
You want to wait until March to do that.
Oh, okay.
So that tree is not dormant yet, and research has shown the safest time is when the tree is dormant, and we usually, late winter is the best time. So just hold off till early March or so.
Okay. Good morning. It says, texter, haven't cut my asparagus back yet. Will it harm the plant if I don't?
No, it will not harm the plant. It offers you some winter interest in our cold, kind of gray landscapes too. And then in the spring, but before the plant starts to come up, before you start to see spears, you want to get out there and cut those fronds off.
Okay. By the way, text number 81807. Here's another tree question. Probably I know what you're going to say. Has it turned sufficiently wintry to prune sugar and silver maples?
You can actually prune those plants just about any time of year. The one concern is in the spring when the sap starts running. If you do prune it, you might see some sap bleed, which is pretty normal.
Okay. Texter says, a dead branch off my big oak tree yesterday, and I was wondering if I should seal it off. The wound against oak wilt.
No, it's actually low risk time for oak wilt, and we're moving into the no risk time right at this point. There's a great website for tree owners called My Minnesota Woods. And one of the nice things, particularly if you have a lot of oaks, is they have an oak wilt risk meter right on their homepage that will tell you, what the risk is at that point for spreading oak wilt. And now it's a low to no risk. And so that should be fine. We don't recommend sealing off wounds because research has shown that actually the tree heals better without being sealed. It's more natural.
I remember you guys saying that. Yeah. Now, this has got to be a question we've never had before. I know we've had Creeping Charlie questions weekly.
Here's the Creepy Charlie question.
But this takes it. Can Creeping Charlie be grown by seed? Cannot find plants in the garden center. You know, I think if in the spring, if this texter wouldn't mind, they would probably have a lot of people coming
Come
over to his
over to
or
my
her house and say, here, take mine.
You can have all you want.
I suppose at one time.
The only thing I could think of is that at some point it was probably a retail. I'm just cracking up from this, that it was available in retail centers as a ground cover, but clearly it's gotten a bit out of hand. So I don't think you're going to find seed for Creeping Charlie, at least not in the United States. And again, if you want Creeping Charlie, talk to your neighbors. You probably can take all you'll wish.
Yeah.
Now and it propagates really well from cuttings.
You and your colleagues have said it's in the mint family.
It is in the mint
And people
family.
Have said they make tea out of, I'm not sure what, yes. if it's the leaves. No, I don't think
Ish.
I know.
Ish. There's better mints than Creeping Charlie.
Than Creeping Charlie. All right, I tell you what, let's do this. So back to the phones, 2-6. I see one line is open. Fill it if you like, 651-989-9226. Again, text is 81807. Brian is calling from Minneapolis with a question. Brian, Julie's listening.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I need to trim or get rid of my arborvitae. First question is, what time of year is good to trim it? And the second question is, if I want to get rid of it, what is the root system like underneath it? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay. Good questions. So trimming arborvitae. Arborvitae are pretty easy to trim. You can trim them almost any time of year. Right now, people trim them and they use the cuttings in arrangements and bring them into the house because they smell great. But arborvitae, as I said, you can trim it any time, but ideally you would trim it in the spring when you see the new growth coming. And then we do what's called a loose shear. So a loose shear is not a lot. You're not cutting off a lot of it. You're actually just loosely trimming off that new growth to keep that plant shaped and to keep keep it in a good form and also to keep it in check from a size standpoint. So it's called a loose shear. So that would be one way of trimming it. And if you're trying to remove it, it depends on how old the plant is and where it's planted, what kind of conditions, if it's had a lot of room for its roots to spread out, or if it's been in kind of a contained area like a wall, excuse me, or if it was, just in an area where it was restricted from the root growth system. But it can be it can be tough to pull the old ones out. Those roots can be pretty big. They can go quite wide. And you may run into those roots as you plant in place of that. So you should be prepared for that. You can cut those roots and dig out the main tree, but you're going to have roots spreading beyond. And you'll have to just kind of keep hacking away at those as you put in new plantings or replace that tree in some way.
All right. Very good. Let's see who's next. Ron is calling from Otsego. Ron, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I plant tulip bulbs in the spring, or do I have to wait until late fall?
You would want to wait till fall for those. That is, those plants need to go through, it's called vernalization, and that is a cold period. It goes through winter, basically. And so we plant them in the fall. They go through their vernalization, their cold period, and then engages the plant or forces the plant to then bloom in the spring.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Ron. Carol, you're going to be next. Hang on. We'll have a quick break. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M Extension, helping you out by phone and by text as usual. Now,
absolutely.
For the folks, a lot of folks know that you also, in your other life, play with a group called the Abiders.
That's right.
Which is also good therapy,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, music and gardening. What else do you
absolutely
need, right?
Now, when do you guys play next?
We are playing next Saturday, December 8th, at a local place in Mound called Surfside Bar and Grill.
Hmm.
Great family place. We start about 8:30, and we're hoping to play, have a whole crowd of folks there that know us, and we've got Larry Hayes playing bass with us, my brother on lap steel, Andy D., and Carl and I, and then also our buddy John A-Frame Beck on the drums.
Hmm. Now, when you finish your set, do you answer lawn and garden questions?
Of course.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure so people come out there with dual purpose. All right. 651-98, and that's a week from today,
That's
right?
A week from today. Okay. Yeah, December 8th, start at 8:30.
Very good. Carol is calling in from Champlin, I believe. Hi, Carol. You're on CCO.
Hi, I've loved this show, and I finally have a problem I need some help on.
All right.
Let her rip, Carol.
Okay. I always have plants that I take outside during the summer, and then late September, October, I do my technique where I take some organic spray and spray them down really good and cover them in a bag and get all the mites off. Well, I did have to buy some new potting soil, and a couple of plants I had to repot, and about 2-3 weeks in, I discovered it must have had fungus gnats in it.
What a pain.
Yeah. So I've been Googling and reading how, watering from the base is better and stirring the topsoil and all that kind of, bring everything to the surface and stuff. But Thanksgiving was a bugger. And now it's coming Christmas and I still have these gnats. And what else can I do?
So when you said you repotted them, did you buy soil and...
And it said household potting mix. Now,
okay.
I did not look specifically to see if it was sterile, but, in all my years of doing this, I've never had a problem buying house potting soil.
Right. So fungus gnats, for those who have never had them, and count yourself lucky, fungus gnats are a type of kind of like a fruit fly almost. They look like that. They're often confused with fruit flies. And people say, I've got fruit flies. I don't have any food out. What's going on? And they are the larvae live in the soil and feed on the roots of plants. And they feed on also the organic matter. And in the past, we didn't think they were really that detrimental. But we found now that those larvae can really affect sometimes the health of plants. And they're just a nuisance in general. And so a couple things you can do. One is allow your plants to dry out well. Fungus gnats thrive in wet soil or soil that never dries out. So if you are watering on a schedule, stop and start feeling the soil before you start to water it. Also make sure your plants are not standing in water and that way completely saturating the root ball at all times. You want your plants to drain really well. So check your pots, make sure they're draining well. If they are sitting in a decorative pot, like a pot in a pot, then take them out of that decorative pot, set them in the sink or the shower, depending how big they are, and make sure that you water them and drain really well. That's important. If you cannot get rid of those fungus gnats, and there's different chemicals you can use. There's one called Knockout Gnats. That's called a BT product. It's Bacillus thuringiensis. This is a soil-borne bacteria that will address the insects in the soil. But if you can't get rid of them or you want to get rid of them right away, I hate to say this, Carol, but repotting is one of the ways that I've been able to get rid of them. And you want to buy a soil that's been kept indoors at your garden center and not the stuff that's been sitting outside. And that's what I found is one of the fastest ways. The other thing to do is when you take the plants out of the pot, and this can be hard if your plants are large, but you want to put those roots in the sink and you want to wash off as much soil as possible, because any of the soil left there could potentially contain the larvae of the fungus gnats. So wash off those roots, put them in a clean pot, wash your pot well, and then put them in soil that has been that you've bought that's been stored indoors at a garden center. And give it a go.
Very good. Good luck, Carol. Thanks for the call. 651-989-9226. I want to mention our friends at Buy the Yard Maintenance Free Outdoor Furniture. Sponsor the show every week. And by the way, it's time for that holiday gift card promotion. Visit buytheyard.net for all the details. Texter Julie says, can I still cut hydrangea and how far down? Thank you.
I would hold off. And there's a couple reasons. One is that hydrangea make terrific winter interest in your landscape during this time of year. And I would just go ahead and cut them back in the spring when you start to see the buds swell. And you can cut them, depending on the type of hydrangea, you can cut them just down to, 18 inches, 12 inches, whatever it is. Just cut them down to a nice, healthy bud and cut them so that your form is going to be equal, too, so that you have a nice, rounded plant.
Okay. Texter says, is the paper tree wrap equally good as hardware cloth for wrapping the trunk of a young tree?
It is not, and we don't recommend the paper wrap. If you are going to wrap a tree to protect the bark from, say, sun scald, then you would want to use a plastic corrugated. It's a kind of a corrugated pipe. It looks kind of like a drain tile in a way without any holes in it, and it's white. And the white reflects the light. To protect it from animals, though, that hardware cloth is the best thing to use. And the paper tree wrap, they'll chew right through that. So that's really of no use.
And if you're not familiar with hardware cloth, I know it comes in different sizes.
Yeah.
But it's like really strong chicken wire.
Right. And it's little squares about almost like, what, half inch squares?
Something like
something.
That. But I've seen it in varying. Mm-hmm.
And it comes in different heights. So you want to choose one. I'd choose at least four feet high.
Oh, okay.
Because if we get a lot of snow, the snow, of course, creates a nice place for little animals to sit on and gnaw away at your plant if your protection isn't tall enough.
And wear some good work gloves while you're cutting that.
Yeah, and get a really good, a tin snip almost.
Yes, exactly.
To cut it. I don't think even a wire cutter will cut it.
No, I think it's a good idea.
A good new tin snip.
A texter, Julie, says, hi, I live in the Faribault area. And last September, we had a tornado. All trees need to be replaced and landscaping needs to be redone.
Oh, boy.
What trees would you recommend? We lost 100-year-old cottonwood and maples. Where would you find a good landscape designer? Well, first of all, wouldn't this be a good time to check the website as far as trees?
Yeah, take a look at the website. We have some recommendations for trees under the trees and shrubs section, and that's at extension.umn.edu. We also, under the landscaping section, have a plant selection program. And it's called Plant Elements of Design. And you can enter in the conditions, the light, the size of the plant you're looking for, maybe some of the features of the plant, and then go ahead and click search. And any and all plants that fit those criteria will pop up on the database. There's roughly about 2,800 plants on that database. Another great place to go, the Arboretum.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Go take a look at the Arboretum. We have a lot of different varieties and cultivars of plants out there. And you might find something that you are really excited about. Talk to your local garden center. But the most important thing is to understand the conditions, the type of soil you might have. Is it heavy clay? Is it sandy? How big should the trees eventually get at their mature size? You want to know that. And then some of the things, are you looking for an evergreen? Are you looking for, a deciduous shade tree? And then the amount of light that you have. Is it full sun or is it part sun? So those are all important things to look at. And then certainly talking to any garden centers, they can help you too.
Where were the other question from the text? Is where would you find a good landscape designer?
Oh, the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, MNLA.biz. That is a great resource. We have tremendous landscape designers, and garden centers often have landscape designers too who can help you as well. So that's the MNLA is a terrific association of all landscape professionals around the Minnesota area. It's the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association, and that's a great resource for people.
All right, let's go back to the phones, Julie. Nadine is calling from Circle Pines with a question. Nadine, you're on with Julie.
Hi, Julie. My name's Nadine, and my brother has a farm in the south of France, and he had a very large oak tree that suddenly died. The question is that he is not able to find anybody that would be willing to research this tree to find out how it passed away. The tree itself was held very dear to the townspeople and actually related to a historical landmark there. And I didn't know if the University of Minnesota would have any ties or make a suggestion of who he could talk to.
Hmm. Oh, boy. Nadine, I do not know. You have stumped me on that question. The best thing, I think, is he should, and maybe he already has, but he should contact and talk to local garden people around France, around his area. Talk to the university and see about contacting their horticulture folks there. I do not know, though, any relationship that we have at the U of M that we could possibly even start to, connect with there. So he should really look to his local universities and garden centers. And I don't know if they have garden centers in France.
Yeah, it's a good question.
But I think they probably do. Gardening is a huge tradition in France with Versailles and some of the beautiful
Monet's garden.
Yeah, Monet's garden. And that actually, the historical piece of that, somebody at Monet's garden or somebody who works in that group might be able to help shed some light on that as well. But unfortunately, we aren't going to be able to help him here.
Wow, interesting question.
Yeah, very interesting. Never had that one before.
No, not at all. Good luck. Good hunting
luck. Good
for
luck
him.
With your brother's
and you too, Nadine. Thanks for the call. We need to take a quick break here. That'd be interesting to find out if there was a solution to that.
Yeah.
All right. 8:46 in the morning, 28 degrees in the Twin Cities. We'll be right back with more Smart Garden here on 830 WCCO. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. We have callers, we have texters, and it's a fun show.
I know.
It, huh? Yeah, it really is.
The off-air comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you know?
Dorothy is calling from Pillager, Minnesota with a question or a comment. Dorothy, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm in the car and I'm listening to this poor woman talk about her nest situation. I had the same thing happen. It was in the soil when I replanted.
Sure.
I washed the roots. I replanted, did all of that. They still came back.
Oh, no.
I ended up just on a whim going to the store and buying some cardboard sticky mouse.
Yellow sticky traps or?
Well,
for mice.
It's for mice, so it's only sticky on one side.
Okay.
And then I cut it into strips and I laid them in my plants.
Okay.
And oh my, after 24 hours, it was covered. And
excellent.
It took about 6 weeks and I kept changing them out as they got, full of bugs. But I got rid of them that way.
Okay.
Honestly. Yeah.
So, so you probably were able to get rid of the larvae because you washed off the roots, and then you had the adults to deal with at that point. So, that's great. That's great.
So,
good advice.
It was kind of an uncommon situation, but I feel for her.
I know.
Yeah, well,
it's
Dorothy,
I've had them too, and it's
Well, you had to repackage that as another
Dorothy,
product.
You have a new business.
Yeah, forget the mice.
Somebody on the texter also said that they've bought the yellow sticky papers, Safer Brand sticky stakes to catch fungus gnats, and that's actually true. There's our yellow. They're like yellow cards. And you hang them on plants, and they're used for monitoring, but they also will catch the fungus gnats too. So in the case of where you've repotted and you've done what you had to do to get rid of that old soil and hopefully all the larvae, then use those sticky traps. Or in the case of Dorothy, she just used those mouse traps. And
great idea, Dorothy.
Cardboard mouse cards. I don't know what to call them.
I know what you mean, though.
But they get caught in them. Yeah.
Well, Dorothy, thanks for the comment. I appreciate that.
Excellent.
Thanks for taking the time.
And thank you for reminding me on the text about the yellow sticky cards.
Good deal. Terry is calling from St. Paul. Meanwhile, Terry, you're on with Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hello.
And thank you for taking my call. I actually, just since you mentioned that other thing, I have another question then.
Okay.
So about the gnat stuff, because I've also had problems.
Yeah.
I've put out like vinegar in water with some dish soap, and it's caught a lot of them.
Yep.
But then my question about the soil, so with regard to that same piece, could you bake the soil and then repot them in the bake, like so potting,
sure.
So you take your bag of potting soil, put it in the oven and bake it, and then would it be okay?
There are, I have heard of people who sterilize soil by baking them in the oven. The one thing that everybody says is it smells awful.
Oh, okay.
and I don't know if – I'm sure if you look online, you can find, like, how long and at what temperature to bake it. You could do that. In most cases, people will just resign themselves to – you could use that soil. The soil, if you have fungus gnats, you could use it in outdoor pots.
Okay.
You know, in the spring.
Okay.
And so you don't have to completely compost it or throw it in a pile somewhere. But for houseplants, I think it's really important to buy the soil that's bagged inside, that's inside a garden center.
Okay.
And that the bag is all sealed up. It doesn't have any holes in it. And
okay.
And that to me, it seems to be the best results.
All right. Well, my real question.
Sure. Yeah.
They called in about, but yep. Then she reminded me about that. So I have a huge, I think it's like an arborvita.
Sure.
It's evergreen. So when I have trimmed it in the past, like in the summertime, and I don't know if that's the right time to do it, but it's definitely not hurt it because
right.
It's still growing profusely.
Right.
We've lived in our house 30 years. When we first had it, we called it the Santa bush, and we put a Santa hat in the middle and put red lights on it. Now it is covering like almost both windows in the front of the house.
Oh, sure. Yes.
I want to know if I trim that way back, will it still be okay? Even if I get into the lumber, will green come out of it again?
If it's an arborvitae and you do, I mean, some people do just take them down.
Okay.
But I don't, it's going to take quite a while for that plant to recover from such a harsh pruning.
Okay.
It may look kind of lousy for a while, like
okay.
years.
Okay.
But if the choice is to either not see out of your windows or remove the plants completely and replant them, or cut them down, I guess you can make a decision that way. And you can, you know, finesse the trimming back. You know, you can maybe trim a little bit and then, you know, take a look at it. And it's always good to stand back and look at the whole landscape after you've done some pruning and really get an idea for how it's starting to turn out. So it's going to have to be a call that you make from an aesthetic standpoint. I don't think the plants are going to die, but they're going to look kind of crazy for a number of years. And in the front of your house, you might say, oh, boy, I don't know about that. And then you might decide to remove them. That's another option, too.
All right, Terry. Hope that helped. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, good questions.
Texter wants to know, somebody is anxious, where did it go now? We're getting more, and it jumps off the screen. Don't go away. I am going through garden withdrawal. How can I get started with microgreens? What are microgreens?
So microgreens are actually you're just seeding greens and you're harvesting them when they're very small. So there's different kinds of planters that you can buy for microgreens. There's also sprouting jars and things like that. But yeah, microgreens are a great way to keep your gardening Jones on through the winter. And so what I would do is I would look online for that information or talk to someone at a local garden center about that. That's a really popular – growing food indoors is becoming more and more popular, especially as people don't have great big yards. Some of our younger listeners maybe are living in a condo or an apartment, townhome, and they're thinking, how can I have a garden? And things like microgreens and window farms and a lot of grow lights. Denny, you're talking about you've added some grow lights in your house. I've got them in mine, and they're great ways to grow plants year-round indoors. So, but I would take a look at microgreens. I would talk to someone. I'm not super versed on it, but, yeah, two thumbs up for that.
Yeah, great. You're going to have to help me. Does the fruit from a white oak tree taste the same as a butternut tree? I haven't tasted the acorns.
I've never eaten an acorn or a butternut.
Yeah.
So I do not know that answer.
Let's ask Mr. Squirrel.
Yeah.
All right. Any suggestions for compacted soil from dogs surrounding a large linden tree? Can I aerate safely without hurting the tree roots or till around the tree?
So an aerator, a core aerator, will you can rent those. And they pull out cores of soil. This is something you would do next fall. You don't want to do it in the spring because there's a lot of weed seeds that come to the surface. They germinate. Now you got a weed problem. So, and you would want to very, you know, carefully go around that tree and aerate in between the greatest, the biggest roots. So that big root flare and those roots that you see, the big major roots, you could aerate gently or carefully between them. It's going to have to be kind of a picky process. Major healthy trees, shade trees, can lose a number of their surface roots, which are the roots that pull water into the tree. They're the finer roots, and they will replenish those roots. But you know, with an aerator, you're not going to damage a lot of roots because you don't want to till that. You want to actually pull those cores out, and it might be kind of tricky because you might be pulling out roots and thinking, oh no, what am I doing? But I think you could do that. You just want to be careful not to damage those major roots, not to ding them with the mechanics.
Before you leave us today, we have about a half a minute
over
to go.
Over now? Oh,
how
my gosh,
about,
how fast was that?
First of all, the Abiders are playing a week from today.
Week from today. Surfside Bar and Grill, Mound, starting at 8:30. Hope to see everybody out there.
And last but not least, the website
extension
of the university.
Site, extension.umn.edu. Go to Yard and Garden and, boy, have at it.
Especially with winter, not officially here, but it's a great –
It's coming around.
It's a great pastime just to read
That's
through
right.
all
and visit
stuff.
The Arboretum. It's looking amazing right now.
If you want to know where that is, just head out West Highway 5 to about 41.
Just past 41.
Julie's good to see you
Good to see you too, Danny. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Good deal. Julie Weisenhorn from University of Minnesota Extension.